Welcome. You're listening to a sermon podcast from Oak Hills Church in Folsom, California.
We are landing the plane, so to speak, in our series that we've been in since September. We've been calling Ancient Wisdom for Modern Life, where we've been looking at this one particular passage in the New Testament book of Ephesians. And so, again, it is a It's exciting for me to get to finish this passage off. We've been reading off this handy-dandy little kind of, at least I've been reading off of it, thing that we kind of handed out the first week. So if you still have yours, like gold star to you. But we'll be reading just Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. So if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. Paul writes, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? So, Father, we come desperate to live the life that you have called us into. We come desperate to free ourselves from the burden of anger and resentment and bitterness. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do that work in us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned last week, we are finishing up the series here with the third of these three things that Paul calls us to put on in place of our anger. As verse 31 in this passage says, that we are to rid ourselves of all kinds of anger. And we are to put on or clothe ourselves with kindness, compassion, and this third thing, forgiveness. Forgiving each other, Paul says, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Which probably of these three things, forgiveness is the easiest to see how, you know, along with kindness and compassion, how it would be kind of the perfect replacement for anger in our hearts. Like really, if we have any hope of living without anger dominating our life, it's going to start by, you know, forgiveness becoming instinctual, like our instinctive reaction to different situations. See, a lot of the time, anger in us springs from some sort of injury. Like somehow I get the impression that you or someone out there has injured me in some way or another. Now, whether it has actually happened or not doesn't really matter. All I have to do is feel like you have injured me or someone out of the world has injured me in some way. And just like that, the pin on the anger grenade that lives inside of us all has been pulled. And now it's just a matter of time. But if I forgive you, well, then that grenade gets diffused, because you see, forgiveness means that I will no longer demand restitution or revenge for what you have done. I will no longer require that you be punished for what you've done. And since I now no longer need anything from this situation, well, kind of easy to see how anger, well, just would have nothing to feed on, nothing to fuel it anymore, and it would quickly, you know, dissipate without the grenade actually detonating. So that whether it's dealing with a coworker who is always rude, or a child that constantly disrupts our family dinner time, or a driver that encroaches on my right of way, if we get into a rhythm of forgiveness, like, you can see how we could begin to navigate those situations without losing our temper. And anger, well, it would become much less of an issue. Forgiveness just makes sense. We love the idea of it. We especially love it when people do it to us. We even try to do it to others sometimes, which is great. Like, except, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you noticed this, but, you know, sometimes you can forgive. But then it feels like it doesn't take. You ever notice that? Like, it feels like forgiveness doesn't stick. Like, say we've been hurt by someone or something has happened, and we do the hard work of letting it go, the authentic work of saying to the other party, I forgive you for, you know, whatever it may be, and it's great. And we feel great, and they feel good. Maybe there's a hug involved at the end of this conversation, and it's just, okay, well, that was, oh, really, really glad that we had this. Yeah, great talk. And you kind of, you go home, go to bed, you wake up the next morning, and you're angry about that situation again. And you're like, so we think to ourselves, well, that's kind of funny. We must not have really forgiven. Like, I really must not have really kind of meant it, maybe. And so maybe we sit down and we drum up the energy to forgive them for what has happened. And maybe we call them back up. You know, say, it was a great conversation yesterday, but, you know, I woke up this morning, I'm still angry. So how about let's talk about it some more. So you grab another cup of coffee, you have the thing, and you're like, okay, okay, now it's forgiven. Maybe a week goes by this time. But the next time that situation comes up in our mind again, like, here comes all the feelings of anger, all the feeling of hurt again. And if we go through the cycle a few times, we begin to feel that just, you know, well, I guess this thing, I guess I can't forgive this. Or we think that this forgiveness stuff doesn't work because our feelings of injury, our feelings of anger keep coming up, because we thought that forgiveness was going to be like a one-time thing. We're like a band-aid, you know, rip it off. We're done with, forgive and forget, right? Like, problem is that most of the time we can't just forgive and forget. You see, we don't simply get to delete memories. That's just not how our brain works. In addition to that, we do actually have a spiritual enemy who will purposefully stir up memories of injury and offense. Like, have you ever been just kind of going through your day and minding your own business, maybe doing some mindless tasks? For me, it always happens when I'm doing the dishes. Right? And and out of nowhere, the memory of some past hurt or some past injury just kind of floods your mind. And before you know it, you're in like this full-blown raging fight with this person in your mind. You're reliving an argument or a fight or a situation, and you're like elbow deep in it, and you're winning this argument this time. Oh, yes. And then, like, you come to. And it was like, whoa, whoa, like, where did that come from? And the step to take here is not to try to forget. Like, the step here is not to try to not remember the event, to not remember what that person said or did to you. The step here is to simply forgive again. You see, forgiveness is more than just a singular event, a one-time thing that we, like, gut through, you know, for me, I kind of like to think of forgiveness as more of a posture, more of a perspective that we take on a particular event or towards a person, where every time we remember the event, every time it comes to mind and all the feelings around it come again, right back in the, every time we are now faced again with this decision, either to demand that that person pay for what they did, or we choose once again to forgive. And not just that time, but every time. Until eventually, yes, you get so used to having this posture of forgiveness towards that person or towards that situation that the event no longer stirs up any feelings of anger or animosity. You see, forgiveness is not a one-time set it and forget it thing that we do. It is a posture that we live in every day. And of course, this process is going to be easier for some cases and harder for other cases, right? I mean, it only makes sense. There are a lot of factors that kind of are involved in these situations that make it so that sometimes someone can do or say something hurtful to us and we can, you know, kind of simply let it go and it's over and we hardly ever comes up again. Where in another case, you know, someone can say or do something, makes it really hard to forgive, and it stirs up anger over and over and over again. And we shouldn't see this as kind of like an indictment on forgiveness and the idea that forgiveness doesn't work. Rather, it is simply a statement of fact. It is true. Some things, some people are harder for us to forgive than others. And there are a million different reasons for that. Like who the person is matters, how much we trust we have or don't have with them matters, how severe the injury is matters, how costly, whether financially or emotionally, the damage done is, and on and on and on. There's like a million different variables that go into this whole thing of why certain things are harder to forgive than others. It would be impossible to go through them all. But there is one variable, though, that I think deserves kind of special attention. And that is the effect of cumulative unforgiveness. The effect of cumulative unforgiveness, or what you could possibly call the last straw syndrome. You notice this, you know, happening when you're going along and then, you know, something happens that's fairly small in the grand scheme of injustices in the world. But for some reason, it becomes the one thing that you cannot let go of. The extreme example of this would be what we call like road rage, right? Where, you know, someone cuts someone else off and that other person ends up chasing down the person that cut them off with a gun. And you're like, wow, that seems like excessive. Like, all because they just cut them off? And the obvious answer is no. It's not because, just because they cut them off, right? It's because people have been cutting him off a lot in life. But rather than forgive, he's been storing up all these injuries, all these injustices, all these times where people have crossed him, and finally he came to the last straw. He came to the point where he finally took revenge. Not just for that event, but for all the other events that he'd been storing up. You see, when in situation after situation we choose to not forgive, eventually we get to the point where we take it out on someone. They do something, maybe a big something, maybe something insignificant, but we just find that we cannot forgive this time. Maybe it's not even that they did something so heinous, but because we are making them pay for all the other stuff that the world has done to us. And this gets especially complicated when the cumulative effect of injury comes from, like, you know, the same person, which of course comes into play in our relationships all the time, right? Our family, our neighbors, our friends, our spouses, our coworkers, the people that we see a lot over a long period of time. You know, something happens, maybe it's not that big of a deal, but it happens over and over and over and over and over and over again. And maybe we've done the hard work of forgiving over and over and over and over and over again. But eventually, it's like, enough is enough, right? And so we say, well, no, this time I'm not going to forgive you because you keep doing it. Which, you know, seems justifiable, seems logical in the situation, but is actually disastrous to ourselves, to the relationship. Because, of course, now we're stuck with this burden of unforgiveness in our life. And obviously, relationships are complicated, and hurt and injury and abuse within relationships is a very complicated thing that I don't want to sound like I'm oversimplifying. But I do think that we get to that point because sometimes we confuse forgiveness with trust. Like, relationships and their respective depth, they are built on and established on and run on this thing called trust. And trust between people is built over time through experience. Positive experiences build trust. When I come home at the time I say I'm going to come home, that leads my wife to believe that I'm going to come home when I say I come home. Negative, painful, injurious experience break trust down when I don't come home when I say I'm going to come home. That leads my wife to doubt, to not trust what I'm coming home. And get it, this is terribly oversimplified. But when one person hurts another in a relationship, you see, it is possible for the injured person to forgive. Like, they can release their rights to have the offending party punished for what they have done. But forgiveness does not immediately then restore trust in the relationship to the same level that it was. And this is extremely important to keep in mind when it comes to abusive relationships. Like, when someone is the victim of abuse in a relationship, it is important for the victim to come to the place where they can forgive their abuser. It is essential for their own well-being to be able to come to the point of forgiveness. But forgiveness does not mean that they will continue in that relationship where the abuse has been happening. And once again, I get that this is all tremendously complicated. And with our web of relationships and experience, and sometimes we withhold trust from one person because another person injured us. And sometimes the way that we punish people instead of forgiving them is by withholding trust from them. You know, this is why it is helpful to sort this stuff out with a trusted friend or with a professional counselor. Because you see, this is so complicated that we ourselves are not always that objective when it comes to where forgiveness and trust need to be impacted. It's especially complicated when the person that we need to forgive is us. Gets especially complicated when the person that we need to forgive is ourselves. See, a lot of times our struggle with forgiving others, our struggle with anger, comes because we have long practiced unforgiveness with ourselves. Which is, like, easy to do, right? Because we know ourselves. Like, we're always with ourselves. So whenever we do anything to hurt anybody else, to hurt our own life, like, we know it. Like, no one better than me. No one better than me knows how I have hurt my family, how I've hurt my friends, how I've hurt myself, how I have hurt God, how I've hurt the world. I have plenty of reasons to be angry at me. And if that wasn't enough, again, we do have a spiritual enemy. Spiritual enemy that Revelation chapter 12 calls the accuser. Because that's what he does. He constantly accusing us. Will not let us forget the things that we have done to hurt others, to hurt ourselves. And so if we're not careful, if we're not disciplined in the practice of forgiving ourselves, the mountain of forgiveness, it just grows. It just grows. And we'll find ourselves exploding at the littlest things. Again, whether it's exploding aggressively or simply internally, passively. We find ourselves exploding with anger because of the unforgiveness towards ourselves that we carry. And all this happens on the inside. And so really, there's no one to help us distinguish truth from lies or to challenge us to forgive ourselves unless we bring it out. Unless we bring it out. This is where the spiritual practice of confession comes in. James 5:16 calls us to confess our sins to one another. This is not like some punitive sentence. Oh, you were bad. You must go tell someone that you were bad so that they can agree with you. Yes, you were bad. That's not what's happening. Calls us to confess our sins to one another so that people can call us to forgiveness. Call us to forgiving ourselves, to allowing God to forgive us. See, when we carry things that we haven't forgiven ourselves for around, it gets in the way of literally everything good in life. Can't experience joy because we keep telling ourselves we don't deserve it. We can't experience love because we're afraid that if somebody really knows us, then they'll find out. Can't let ourselves go. We perpetually live with this debt hanging over our heads. And ultimately, it keeps us from God because we self-select out. We can't be close to God, we think, because you know, tell ourselves, well, God deserves a better child than me. And if it feels like I'm making this all really, really complicated, it's because I think it is really, really complicated. It is really involved. Be lying to you if I said, oh, just forgiveness is this simple thing. But it is also really, really, really important. Because the effects of unforgiveness, the consequences of unforgiveness, they're terrible. They're extreme. Unforgiveness affects our relationships, not just with the person who hurt us, but with everybody. Unforgiveness wreaks havoc in our physical health, our blood pressure, stress, muscle ache, backache, jaw. Unforgiveness doesn't stay contained in the little tiny box that we try to keep it. Unforgiveness continues to grow over time. It infects everything it touches. And here's the thing. Because we are eternal creatures, because we, all of us, will live forever, the effects of unforgiveness carry on into eternity. This is why Jesus taught that forgiveness wasn't an option. Like, forgiveness is essential. This is why at the cross, Jesus asked the Father to forgive his crucifiers. Unforgiveness doesn't stay contained just to the person that we're mad at. Give it time. It will grow and will consume everything about you. But even with all that, even though I think intuitively we know all that, we've experienced all that, still sometimes it's hard. Actually, sometimes it feels impossible. Because of the injustice of it all. Like, ultimately, forgiveness is unjust. Are we just supposed to let it go? Like, are we just supposed to let people get away with this stuff? Let ourselves get away with stuff like it's nothing? Even what has been broken or damaged is irreplaceable. Even when it's priceless beyond measure. On August 6th, 2021, a 23-year-old young man, just days away from beginning a master's program at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, was riding his bike home from the movies when he was hit by a 17-year-old young woman driving under the influence of narcotics. Young man died. The young woman driving the car fled the scene, was later apprehended, charged with a number of crimes. Because she was a minor, she served 18 months in a juvenile detention center and then was released. It's a horrendous tragedy. Sadly, not too uncommon, but this one hit especially home for me because this young man and his family were part of the church that Carol and I were pastoring down in Southern California. And I think of this story, this event, every time I think about this topic of forgiveness. Because you see, whatever we say about forgiveness, whatever I preach about forgiveness from a place like this, I got to be able to say to my friend who lost his son because a teenage girl made a really, really bad decision one night. And I wonder, how does my friend ever forgive this young woman? Like, he can't just let it go. Like, you can't just say, don't worry about it, you know, it's not a big deal. The blood of his son cries out from the grave, saying, I matter, my life matters, it is a big deal to me. He can't say, well, you know, I've done bad things too, nobody's perfect. Just sure, it's fine, it's true, but again, it's not his son's fault that nobody's perfect. And of course, there is no way that this young woman could ever repay what she broke. There isn't an amount of money, there isn't an amount of years that she could spend in jail. Not if she, even if she gave her own life, she could never restore or fix what she broke. So how does my friend ever forgive her? Even more than that, how does this young woman ever forgive herself? And it And it doesn't work to just say, well, he doesn't have to forgive her. It doesn't work to say, well, she shouldn't forgive herself. Right? Because again, we all know what unforgiveness does to a person. Like, to say he doesn't have to forgive her, well, it's to condemn him. To say she shouldn't forgive herself is to condemn her and really everybody else connected to this horrible tragedy. It is to condemn them all to suffering and pain and doom and anger forever. It's essentially to say that to say that forgiveness doesn't apply here is to condemn them all to hell. Because ultimately, that is what unforgiveness feels like. But how? Like, how does forgiveness make its way into this horrible mess? This is why we need Jesus. This is why Paul tells us to forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave you. In Christ. 1 John 2:2 says that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And what that means is that Jesus' death, the death of Christ on the cross, it pays the bill for every human act of injury or of destruction. You see, forgiveness is not, as secular psychology would have us believe, just about moving on. It's not just about releasing anger. Because you see, in human interaction, real injury happens. Real people get hurt. Real things get broken. And it isn't fair to the injured party to just say, well, just, you know, let it go. Just move on. My friend's son is dead. It's not fair to his dead son to simply say, nah, don't worry about it. It's okay. Forgiveness without restitution is an injustice to the victim. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself the consequence of all sin, not just the sin that people commit against God, but the sins that we commit against each other, the sins that we commit against ourselves. God forgives us because Christ paid the price. He can look at the injured party, whatever the injury is, whatever the damage has been, and God can look at the injured party and say, Jesus paid for that. My friend can forgive that young woman, not because her 18 months in juvie makes up for it, not because she's suffered enough, not because, well, you know, we all make mistakes. He can forgive her because Jesus says, I paid for that. And yes, this young woman can forgive herself. Not because she was young and didn't know what she was doing, not because she didn't mean for anybody to get hurt, but she can forgive herself because Jesus looks at her and says, I paid for that. And yes, even my friend's son can go on to live a joy-filled eternity without holding the life that he lost against this young woman. Because Jesus paid for that. And not just paid for it. He can fix it. He can fix it all. Even death. And yes, Jesus' death is big enough to cover whatever has been done to you as well. So whatever grudge you are carrying, whether it be against someone else, whether it be against yourself, You can forgive it because Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid for it all. So you can forgive it just as in Christ, God has forgiven you. Would you bow your heads? And as we end this morning, I invite you to let the Holy Spirit take a walk with you through your heart. I don't think it's a leap to say that we all are carrying something. For all of us, there is something that stands just outside of our active thought. That at any given moment, at any free time, can jump in. Some aspect of injury that we carry. Something that we are angry at. And while, as I said, forgiveness isn't a one-time deal, it is something that starts with doing it. So Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice that makes up for all the ways that we hurt each other. And we confess that sometimes we are tempted to think that that's not enough. Somehow something else must be done. And so, God, we just forgive us for that. And let the precious blood that you spilled cover all of our offenses, all the things that we've broken. Restore us back again to new life.